Good morning. I want to let you know how thankful I am that I can be here at Plymouth, how much I'm enjoying the work, and I'd like to tell you I appreciate your being here. And believe it or not, I do notice when you're not here. Being up front, I have to see everybody, but I do notice when you're not here, and I do pray about it during the week. I pray for the sick and for the church. I know there are sometimes reasons for not being here, and I also know that there are sometimes no reason for not being here. And I will definitely miss Rex and Teresa. I know Teresa's almost retired. I don't know if she wants me to say that. That makes her sound so old. Almost retired. But I told her already, she doesn't look anywhere near the age to retire. But from what I understand, she's more than ready to retire. You should see the sparkle in her eyes when she has that picture of her little granddaughter. Or is it grandson? They all look alike, babies. But I know her and Rex are looking forward to moving to South Carolina and seeing that baby, and every day, I guess. But we will miss you both. And I wish school was another 8-9 months, but I know school's only like, what, 2.5 months? The kids are going, yeah! But we will miss Rex and Teresa, as I miss everybody when they are not here. It's wonderful, though, to see guests this morning. And it's wonderful that the members are here. I even see Naomi. I always want to say fiancé, but I don't even know if that's true. It might just be a boyfriend. They're saying, no, no, no. But it's wonderful to have you here today as well. We have been looking at the book of Philippians, and we will continue to look at Philippians. So please open up to Philippians chapter 3. And I will read to you verse 12 through 16, which is our text for today. Paul is speaking, I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason He made me His. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do, forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to the life above. All of us who are spiritually mature should think this way too. And if there are things you do not agree with, God will make them clear to you. But we should continue following the truth we already have. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to read biographies. I've read about most of the early presidents and how they became president, about their lives. I've even read a biography over Fidel Castro's daughter, who lives in Miami, by the way. I've read some interesting books, even on what we consider great businessmen of the past. And sometimes I wonder why we consider some of these businessmen great. When you read about how they became great, you kind of wonder. But I like to take a look and see what drove these men to the greatness that they attained. Well, Paul, in chapter 3, does exactly that. This is, for him, sort of a self-biography of his life. We saw last week how Paul counted all those things in his past that he once considered very important trash compared to his life in Jesus Christ. And today, he's not looking at the past. Today, Paul is looking at his present. As he wrote this piece that we just read in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. So this is sort of his spiritual biography. First, we saw he learned to count those things that were important. And today, we see Paul the athlete. And the spiritual vigor that he has to run the Christian race. Because we have all been called to be athletes in Jesus Christ. We all are athletes. And as an athlete, what is it that every athlete wants to do? He wants to win. Now, in the instructions that came when we signed Stefan up for soccer, they kind of said, you know, winning is not everything. This is a league for fun. But when those kids go out and play, they want to do what? They want to win. And so when they lose, it's hard on them. Stefan doesn't know what it is to lose yet. His team is now has won two and tied one. So it's helpful to win. But Paul says we are striving in the Christian race to do what? To win that which God has promised us. And so we see the spiritual vigor, the vigor and the seal that this man had. Remember the seal that Paul had when he was trying to destroy the church? He brought that over into Christianity. And that is what he is calling us to do. Paul is exercising his spiritual mind. He is looking at the things of earth through the eyes of God. Are these things important for my race, or do they hinder my race? Are these things going to help me win in the end, or will they keep me from winning the race? So he is looking at God's perspective, and he does not let the giving up of earthly things upset him. He does not let them take away the joy that he can have in Jesus Christ. Yes, we Christians have the responsibility of running a race. We are out to win and to achieve the goal that God has given us as his sons. And that is an important thing for us to understand. In chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13, Paul tells us we need to work out our salvation. He says, "Keep on working to complete your salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you to help you want to do and to be able to do what pleases Him." We should see that we are not earning our salvation. We are cooperating, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit who is in us and working in us to help us to win the race. What did he say? He said he is there to help you to want to do, and to be able to do what pleases him. And so we are in this way cooperating with the Holy Spirit who is working in our lives. So we are not earning salvation. We need to remember Jesus earned the salvation that we have. It was Jesus who lived perfectly. It was Jesus who was the perfect offer, and it was His blood that washed away our sin. This part of salvation is finished because Jesus did it. But as Jerry said in this morning's class, Jesus is knocking on the door, and what do we need to do? Open the door. And that is what Paul is talking about in this passage. Each believer is on the track. Each believer has his own lane that he needs to run in. As a matter of fact, what happens when you leave your lane? Where is Cletus? Cletus, what happens if you're running on the track and you leave your lane and run into your opponent's track and then come right back into your track?
Disqualified.
You're disqualified. We need to remember that there are rules for athletes. And if athletes do not follow these rules, they will be disqualified. But I'm getting ahead of myself and going too far. But our ultimate goal as Christians is to be faithful unto Jesus until the end. Either the end of our lives or the end of time when Jesus comes to collect us and to take us home. And once again, we are not earning our salvation when we obey Jesus. Paul said we are not perfect. Or Paul said he wasn't perfect. I know I include myself in that. Paul said, "I know I'm not perfect," but what did Paul say there? "I am striving, I am trying, I am aiming." And New Century Version says, "I am straining to do that." Was Paul ever perfect? Probably not. Will we ever be perfect with our own workings? Probably not. But Paul says, the important thing is the heart. Do you want to do it? Are you trying to do it? Are you straining? Are you working at it? This is what God notices. And this is what God wants. not to be perfect, but to be perfect in Jesus Christ. All of us want to win. And Paul lets us know here that there are some things that will help us on the road to perfection, the road to win, on the road to heaven. Five essentials I will mention this morning. The first essential is the essential that we need to be dissatisfied with our life. What did Paul say here? I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason He made me His. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached the goal. We need to be, don't take me wrong, we need to be dissatisfied with our Christian life. Have we attained that which God wants us to have? In no way. We need to realize this, that we always need improvement. Stefan's probably not happy, but yesterday I said, you played an excellent game, but we do need to work on a few things. And a papa that doesn't know anything about soccer, but I know how to help him. I said, we need to build your strength in kicking, your kicking leg. And if someone runs by him, I said, you need to stick with that person and not just let him run by. You need to stick with him and continue fighting to get that ball away from him. So yes, he played an excellent game yesterday. I was proud of him. And yes, he does need to improve in some ways. But isn't that true of all of us in our lives? There are things that need to be improved upon. So we need to be dissatisfied, not in a bad way, but to know we are not perfect. And to know that we can improve ourselves. Check out the athletes. But Tiger Woods, what did he do all of last year? He worked on his swing. He said it wasn't good enough. He needed to improve his swing. Now, do we know who Tiger Woods is? Like a Tiger Woods? He is at the moment the number one golf player in the world. When he is in his groove, no one can come close to him. And here's this man saying, my swing is not good enough. That's what I'm talking about. That realizing you can improve yourself. Did you know that if you want to run faster, you can if you work at it. You have to build up leg muscles. You have to work on technique. Now, you may never be as fast as some others, but you can become faster if you want to become a faster runner. You can learn to run further, and we can train ourselves. And that is what Paul is talking about, training ourselves and improving ourselves. But if you think you are perfect, if you think you have reached the limits of what you can do, will you improve? No way. If I think I'm as good as I can get, I can't get any better. I would like to get better, but I can't. Let me tell you, I won't either. We have to realize we can improve. We have to realize that we need improvement. And that is what Paul is talking about when he says, I do not mean that I already am as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached the goal. But Paul said, I strive, I strain, and I try to improve myself. And that is what Paul is talking about. Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus will ever live a perfect life on earth. But that does not mean that Christians should not try to live that type of life. Paul, when he compared himself to Jesus. Now, sometimes we like to compare ourselves. Usually, though, who do we pick to compare ourselves to? We usually pick what we consider the weakest link in the church, and we like to compare ourselves to them. Oh, I'm better than he is or she is. But Paul didn't do that. Paul compared himself to Jesus and said, I'm lacking. Yes, he did compare himself to the false teachers and said, I'm much better than they are, but yet you tend to listen to them. But then he said, but all that is trash anyways. Paul said, let us compare ourselves to Jesus. And if we are mature Christians, we will evaluate ourselves. Paul said that's an important part of maturity. Evaluating ourselves and seeing, can I improve? The Bible often warns us of self-complacency. Remember this verse in Revelation 3 and 1? To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Self-complacency is wrong, a wrong attitude, and leads to death. But there are dangers in self-evaluation. We might think of ourselves better than we are, or we might, secondly, think of ourselves worse than we really are. We're Christians. We are all on the road to heaven. Some have traveled further. Some have practiced harder. But we are all on that road. And we need to realize it is Jesus that is the judge. He will decide how far we should have gone and not have gone. He knows our hearts. He knows our abilities. So there are dangers in self-evaluation. But we need to realize we do need to evaluate ourselves, that we can improve upon ourselves. We think, how can the best improve? Well, Tiger Woods thinks he needs to improve himself. And there are many other professional athletes that think the same. But Paul says we need to strive, we need to press, we need to strain, we need to show effort in our participation in the Christian race. So yes, we need a divine dissatisfaction to help us progress. In Psalms 42, 1 and 2, we read, As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The word pants shows an urgency, a desperation to find water. And we need that desperation, that urgency to seek God. Secondly, and essential for the race, we need devotion. Devotion. Paul said, But there is one thing I always do. You ever thought about that? How often does that phrase come forward in the Bible? One thing. One thing is an important phrase in the Bible. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, remember that in Mark 10:21, he said to that rich young ruler, there is one more thing you need to do. Or what about when Jesus was visiting Lazarus, with Mary and Martha were there. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha was running around doing what housewives do when guests come, trying to get everything ready, trying to get refreshments, trying to get food ready, and just thinking of all the hundred little things a man never thinks about when guests come. I enjoy just sitting there talking. I don't think about giving them a drink or getting them something to eat or you know, letting them take off their shoes and rest and relax. I don't think of those things, but women do. And here's Martha running around doing exactly that, and Mary's just sitting there listening to Jesus, not helping. Martha complained. Remember Jesus' answer to her? He told her, Martha, only one thing is important. And Mary is doing that. What was that one thing that was important? Listening to Jesus. Devotion. Please listen to this statement and don't take me wrong, but listen to this because it's important. Too many Christians are involved in too many things, and this is why many Christians do not grow in Christ.
Amen.
What's important? Martha learned the hard way. Listening and following after Jesus is what is important. Our Christian race. Paul's secret, or one of his secrets to the Christian race, a successful Christian race, is devotion to God. That one thing. For Paul, there was only one thing important anymore. Since he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, Paul gave his life to Jesus and the spreading of that gospel. He left what could have been a promising career as a Jewish politician and teacher and took the road of Jesus, which led to beatings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, and much suffering and sorrow, because he was devoted to Jesus Christ. And we must devote ourselves to running the Christian race. Devotion is important, but it is not all that is needed. And we need to remember about devotion. It is wholly a matter of values and priorities in our lives. What we choose is important, is what will be important. Thirdly, the third essential is direction. Paul said, forgetting the past and straining to what is ahead is important. Now in the Bible, when the Bible talks about forgetting, do we really forget anything? We might forgive, we might, but it's there. But Paul said, forgetting the past. Does that mean that Paul literally forgot everything that happened? No. When the Bible usually talks about forgetting the past, it's talking about no longer being influenced or affected by the past. By doing this, we break the power of the past, and by concentrating on the future, what lays ahead. I may have done good in the past, but maybe I'm struggling now. Does it help that I did good in the past? No. Maybe I did bad in the past. Does that mean I'm not worthy or can go further? No. Paul said, I forget what's back there. I concentrate on the now and concentrate on the future. What was Paul heading towards? Eternal life with Jesus. And he was trying to get there with his entire strength. He was concentrating on the future. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 17, I thank Jesus our Lord who gave me strength because he trusted me and gave me this work of serving him. In the past, I spoke against Christ and persecuted him and did all kinds of things to hurt him, but God showed me mercy because I did not know what I was doing. I did not believe. But the grace of the Lord was fully given to me, and with that grace came the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. What I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I was given mercy so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus could show that he has patience without limit. His patience with me made me an example for those who would believe in him and have life forever. To the King that rules forever, who dies, who never dies, who cannot be seen, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was not controlled by his past actions. He concentrated on the future and trusted that Jesus would not only forgive him, but help him to attain that goal. Joseph understood this thought too. His father is now dead. His brothers come to him and basically are begging for forgiveness again. And here's what Joseph tells him in Genesis 50:19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." We don't know why things happen, but if we trust God, we know these things are being done for our good and for the goods of others. Too many Christians are shackled by the regrets of the past. Don't let them influence you. Concentrate on the future in living the life that Christ would have. Fourthly, we need determination. We might have all those other things, but if we are not determined to win, we won't. We need determination. Paul said, I keep on trying. He put the zeal of his past life into his future life. and he strived with all that he could to reach the goal with the help of Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. But Paul said, I keep on trying. Determination. I wish Christians would learn to put as much zeal that they put into golf or to fishing or into many other activities into the work of the Lord. I think the church would grow mightily if that would happen. But even here there are extremes to avoid. We must realize that we can't do it all by ourselves. And secondly, we must realize that God must not do it all himself. He has called us to work with him, not just to sit there and watch him do all the work. The Christian must realize that God is working in him and through him. We are the hands and the feet and the mouth of God on earth. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, but do not follow foolish stories that disagree with God's truth, but train yourselves to serve God. Training your body helps you in some ways, but serving God helps you in every way by bringing you blessings in this life and in the future life too. Some Christians are too busy dying to self to realize that God has called them back to life, a life of service. Others are so sure that they can run the race alone that they forget to read the Word of God. They forget to pray. They forget to seek the power of the resurrection in their lives. The Lord wants to share that power. Our job is to run the race and reach the goal. At the end, it matters only what God thinks about our race. He knows our hearts. And fifthly and lastly, the last essential is discipline. It is not enough to run hard and win the race. What happens if we cross the line and then come back into our own line? Cleta said, disqualified. We can disqualify ourselves by not following the rules of God. The Greek judges were very strict about their rules in sports. They took it seriously. We've seen it happen in the Olympics. Somebody wins, they're springing around jumping, and then comes the word, disqualified. That's happened in the Olympics. We can be disqualified. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:27, I treat my body hard and make it my slave so that I myself will not be disqualified after I have preached to others. Or in 2 Timothy 2:5, he says, also an athlete who takes part in a contest must obey all the rules in order to win. Has God given us rules? Has he given us goals to aim for? Does he expect us to try? Does he expect us to work at those things? Yes. Remember the two sons of Aaron? Why did God take their lives? They brought strange fire into the temple that didn't belong there. Or what about King Saul? He disobeyed God and lost his kingship. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They too disobeyed the rules and God took their lives. And there are other examples within the Bible. There are rules to keep. Does God expect us to keep the rules perfectly? Once again, no. But does he expect us to try? Yes, he does. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, some wonderful words. We have around us many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but he accepted the shame as if it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And now he is sitting at the right side of God's throne. Think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. So do not get tired and stop trying. One day we will stand before the judgment seat of God. If we have been faithfully trying to keep the rules that God has given us, keeping the faith and working, striving, straining, then we will hear these wonderful words from our Lord and Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Would you like to be a good and faithful servant? It's possible. Do you need strength to continue on as a good and faithful servant? It's yours to have. Just come forward this morning and we will share with you the words of life that lead us to salvation.